You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we made it to a Friday. It's a Meat Friday at that. Welcome to the program. We're down to Danette. McLovin has taken a day off. Shark Watch. He's going to Cape Cod to look for sharks. Fritzy's here. Seaton's here. Paulie's here. And yours truly. Boys in the back. We got Marvin answering phones. We got Tyler, the moderator, with Chat Row. We got the big German running the TV portion of this. We're ready to go. You're allowed to be part of the program if you want. A variety of ways. You can email. You can tweet. You can also dial us up. Say good morning to our folks watching on TV. That's youtube.com/TheDanPatrickShow. And our great radio affiliates around the country. NBA appeared to bend over backwards to bring the New Orleans Pelicans down to the bubble. At least that's what a lot of people thought when they decided to settle on 22 teams to compete. And based on the TV schedule, there's no doubt that they considered Zion Williamson a big draw. They front-loaded the regular season TV schedule, and then Zion was out with surgery. Now he's back in the bubble, and he was on display last night. Ideally, the Pelicans would like to find a way to reach the postseason, then face the Lakers in the first round. The problem is they come into the bubble as the number 10 seed, and they have a lot of work to do. They have the easiest schedule of the teams in the bubble, but they lost last night to the Utah Jazz. Zion was on a strict minutes count. More on this coming up in a little bit. They turned the ball over 20 times. They shouldn't have lost that game. They were the better team last night, but give credit to Utah. They hung in there, and in crunch time, Pelicans couldn't hit a shot, and Utah got a couple of big shots there at the end. And despite all the hype, the Pelicans are young. They're fun. You not only have Zion Williamson, Lonzo Ball, you know, Brandon Ingram, to me, this is, you're watching somebody grow up before your very eyes. And I remember when we had Reggie Miller on, this is a while ago. This is when Ingram was traded, or maybe it was rumored to be traded. And he said he needs to get out from LeBron's shadow. And he said he'll do better in a smaller city than he would in Los Angeles. And I found that interesting. I don't know that much about Brandon Ingram other than what I saw at Duke. And he has a Kevin Durant-type build to him. But what I love to see is improvement. He wasn't a good free-throw shooter. He's become a good free-throw shooter. He was not a good three-point shooter. He's become a good three-point shooter. He's now becoming a Kevin Durant light. How's that? Lonzo Ball benefited from getting away from his dad and getting away from the shadow of LeBron James. This is a fun team. And if I have those three, if I have Zion, Ingram, and Lonzo Ball, and I have them for the next 5 years maybe or longer, you might be able to do something really special in New Orleans. Now, I would love to see them have a true rim protector or a big man there. But watching last night against Utah, you can see the embryonic stages of what could be something that's special there. But the Pelicans, they're young. They have a great future. But just because they're on TV all the time doesn't mean they're suddenly going to win on a consistent basis. And you saw that last night. We're going to talk to Chris Haynes. Chris Haynes was working the sidelines for TNT last night. And I want to know, what was up with Zion Williamson that I have him play 3 minutes and then he sits out the rest of the quarter and then 4 minutes? He played 15 minutes last night. He scored 13 points. Are you trying to win? You're sort of trying to win because he's either ready to play or he's not. And I would argue this. Having Zion play in a three-minute spurt, a burst, would leave him more susceptible to doing something of, you know, that he could re-injure himself. Because once he gets done, then he gets on a bicycle and rides the bicycle the rest of the quarter. I would rather have him out there and just say, I'm going to have you play 7 minutes, because he's going to get out there and try to do everything in a 3 minute period. And that to me is dangerous. If you don't think, remember, he was in the best shape of his life. And then he left with a family emergency. Then he came back. He was quarantined for 4 days. And then he's out there and you're going, okay, he's sort of out there. You can't get anything going in 3 minutes. You're not going to get back in shape. I think they appreciate being in the bubble. I think this is a good experience for that team. I don't know if they're really trying to win. Because if you are, then put Zion out there. If not, then don't play him. That's what I said yesterday. Is he going to play or not play? 3 minutes? 3 minutes is not going to... Okay, if what happens next game? 4 minutes? 5 minutes? And you're on the clock. You got to win these games if you want to make it into the bubble and face the Lakers in the opening round. So that was puzzling. But we'll talk to Chris Haynes. He was on the sidelines for that. Watching the Lakers last night against the Clippers, that was a lot of fun. That was intense. I mean, that was playoff basketball. Anthony Davis was the best player on the floor. But the game came down to LeBron James doing what LeBron James does. He scored 13 of the Lakers' 27 fourth quarter points, played great defense on Paul George in the waning seconds to close out that victory. And he made the go-ahead basket in the final 15 seconds. You know, it wasn't a great shot, off-balance shot, but the follow-up was great. The 16-foot jump shot then got his own rebound. And this was something that was, I thought, big for LeBron, because LeBron means business. And he wasn't talking. LeBron was just playing. He wanted to send the message that this is serious. We have a mission. We have a job to do. He wanted Paul George in the closing seconds, and he wanted Kawhi Leonard on the defensive end in the closing seconds. I loved it because that's what I want. I want my guy out there, and he knows what's at stake here. But a lot of fun last night. I'm not getting caught up in the crowd noise, the ambiance, the lack thereof. It's not ideal. But what's the other option here? There is none. So I just enjoyed it. What was weird was it was a Pelicans home game. So they catered the noise. Now, that crowd noise is in the arena and in our TV. And then they would pump up. So let's say J.J. Redick hit a shot, and then you'd hear the crowd go, and I don't know how you can take advantage of that if that's your home court advantage, but that was a little odd. Yes, Eden.
Is the NBA the only league doing that, the in-house crowd? I was always under the impression that the other leagues did it, like it's, or say soccer, they just did it on TV, but in the actual stadium itself was just, there was no sound.
I was surprised too, because I thought, okay, that's just for us.
I'm still surprised. You're saying that the players can hear the exact feed that we hear?
Yeah.
Which that actually seems super cheesy. Doing it for the TV experience, I get, but pumping it into an empty stadium sounds so corny.
Oh, I know. In the 15 minutes, Zion was on the floor. Pelicans were outscored by 16 points. I hate to be a hater on a Friday, but just pointing out. Look, he did not look good. I mean, he had those moments where he has a great play, an alley-oop from Lonzo Ball, power move to the hoop. He didn't look great. You know, LeBron didn't look great to start the game, but Zion is what, 19, 20? I'm hopeful that he could be, you know, LeBron is what, 35? I understand if he's maybe struggling to come back here. Zion just turned 20. I'm hopeful that he would be ready to go. But Zion last night, okay, didn't look great. But Brandon Ingram, man, he's got it all.
Are you calling Brandon Ingram? Because there's some people in this room who said they may have called Brandon Ingram.
All I know is I might have a couple more people on my Pelicans bandwagon.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Oh. It's breaking news for you, but Pelicans are fun to watch.
I know.
I think if we're going back in the order, I think Andrew has a pretty good claim on Brandon Ingram.
McLovin? Well, he's not here. So
he's not here, but he was very high on him at Duke. Yeah, that's hard, difficult call to make, but...
But he does claim a lot of people, though, Seton.
That is true.
Remember when he bought the Bucks hat and he was all in on the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yes.
Yeah. So he does jump in. Blaine Gabbert? Remember when he was all in on Blaine Gabbert?
He's just more pro-ready.
Yeah, than Cam Newton.
He stands by it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. All right, so we'll take some moments with Chris Haynes coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Matt Ryan of the Falcons will join us coming up as well. Tonight, 6 NBA games, 13 baseball games, 10 NHL games coming up this weekend. You're going to have over 60 games coming up this weekend with baseball, hockey, and the NBA. Whew. But if you, I mean, the normal schedule is we wouldn't have hockey and we wouldn't have the NBA. Those seasons would be over a year ago at this time. There would be no preseason football. That would start the following week. You would have baseball. And unless more teams have positive tests, you're going to have 13 baseball games coming up tonight. By the way, if I say the name Shane Bieber, anybody?
Justin Bieber's little brother.
Nope. Nope. It's weird to see the jersey and you see Bieber on the back. And Shane Bieber is a pitcher. He pitches for the Cleveland Indians. And I was watching him last night. Shane Bieber brings cheese. He has had 27 strikeouts in his first two starts this season. That's tied for the most by any pitcher in baseball history in the first two starts of a season. The only other time it happened was back in 1954. 27 strikeouts, one walk for Shane Bieber.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Paulie, can you check? I thought a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know what? I got a sneaky dark horse for Cy Young in the American League.
He said something.
Yeah, now, I don't know if I said it on the air, but maybe as I was walking out to the kitchen.
You called me one night and said, there's this guy in Cleveland who's got a lot of gas. Throwing a lot of
cheese.
Well,
that's Terry Francona.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to back you.
Shane Bieber.
Your guy.
Has faced 50 batters this season. He struck out 27 of them.
Dang.
Yeah. I'm on the Shane Bieber bandwagon.
You're a believer?
Yes, I am. Yes, Todd.
How about Bieber gun for a nickname since he throws so hard? Or is that not politically correct because you're using the word gun? It's too violent. Instead of a BB gun, Bieber gun. Or does that need to be workshopped a little more?
I mean, I'm not worried about the political correctness of a BB gun, but I...
It's just a bad nickname.
It was just a bad nickname. Yeah.
Yeah, don't blame America.
Yeah. But thank you, Todd, for showing up today.
All right.
Well done. Who is handling the poll question today with McLovin not here?
I'll do it. You guys are okay with that?
Are you capable of filling the large shoes of McLovin?
Oh, well, nobody could ever fill McLovin's shoes when it comes to the poll question, but I could certainly try my best.
Okay. What do you have for us, Seton?
Well, I was actually thinking what we could do is normally we just say like, oh, hey, Paul had this idea or whatever. I was going to throw out some suggestions and then you can not only decide which poll question you like, but who submitted said poll question.
Oh, okay.
We'll make a game out of it.
Okay. Got a new format here.
I'm already off to a good start, right?
Okay. Who suggested, do we have music for this?
You know what? We sure could.
Okay. By the way, this program is brought to you by the great wireless earbuds. The way to go is Raycon, R-A-Y-C-O-N. And you can get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. That's buyraycon.com/Patrick. Here we go. And who suggested this poll question?
If you were 22 years old, would you rather play for the Lakers or the Pelicans?
Do I have to answer the question or tell you who came up with the question?
I think you should answer the question and
answer the question.
Who came up with the question? If you were 22 years old, would you rather play for the Lakers or the Pelicans?
Well, I'm going to be playing for a championship if I'm 22. I don't know what role I play.
Doesn't seem like a lot of fun, though, does it?
Probably not. Not as much fun as you would think it would be. You're in Los Angeles. Well, you're not even in Los Angeles. You're in the bubble. Pelicans feel like, hey, let's just go out there and have some fun. So I'd probably say the Pelicans, judging from what I've seen with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, feels like they can go out there. You might make a mistake. It's okay. So I'd say the Pelicans.
Do you know who suggested that?
You.
Yes. Oh, you're on fire. Well done. Well done. The second question.
Okay.
NBA restart looked more entertaining than awkward. More awkward than entertaining.
I'm going to say Todd.
Correct. Man, you are on fire. 2 for 2.
I don't care about the aesthetics other than the basketball wasn't necessarily great at times last night. So I'm fine with the entertainment portion of it.
Okay. Next question. Sports wise, July sucked. It was a nice little month, actually.
It's all blending together. So, Paulie, that's yours?
Yeah, shocker.
Okay, but
my point was, I can remember we did this a month ago, and we said that June was pretty bad. Everything was getting pushed back. Now, 30 days later.
No, I'm good with July.
It seems like we're going in the right direction,
yes.
Sports-wise.
Yes. June was rough.
Very.
May was rough. April was rough. July? Nirvana. I'm happy with what we've accomplished so far. Hopefully, we get all these games in over the weekend. I'm absolutely fine with all of that. Yes, Eden.
After watching the NBA restart last night, I'm going to watch more than I planned, going to watch less than I planned.
Okay, who came up with that question? Todd came up with that question.
Accurate.
I'm watching more, but that's...
That's just you.
Yeah, that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to watch the team, like Washington, the Wizards. I'm going to watch because nobody's going to watch. And Sacramento, I'm going to watch because nobody's probably going to watch. Or the Brooklyn Nets, nobody's going to watch. But I'm watching all of these things. Yeah, Paul.
There was no option for I'm going to watch exactly the same amount as before. Like, I haven't changed my opinion whatsoever. I have the exact number of games I plan to watch, and that's what I'm going to watch.
You know what? There was that option, but I thought it would have given away Todd too easily. Yeah, the middle of the road.
You can't give that on-the-fence neutral.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't give him an easy out like that. But that would be my on-the-fence third choice.
Oh,
I'm not committing either way.
You are one of the best at being on the fence.
I'm going to watch approximately the same amount.
Roughly the same amount. Here's another one
okay,
for you, Dan.
Okay, all right.
Is it acceptable to talk trash about Super Bowl 51 to Matt Ryan? Yes, no. Being the
okay, answer. Who is the person who could be talking trash?
It could be TB12 if you want. It could be...
Because I can't.
Right, you can't.
I can't. If you played in the game, I think you can, but Matt Ryan is not a guy that you would talk trash to.
Because he seems nice.
He's
like a nice guy.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, man, that kind of probably stunk.
I mean, you know, his nickname is Matty Ice. You can't spell nice without ice. I mean, he's just Matty Nice.
That's not because he's cold-blooded?
No. He might be, but... Yeah, he's joining us in the last hour of the program. I'm going to bring up 28-3. I'm going to bring it up, but I don't know how I'm going to bring it up. Yes, Paul.
It'd be a lot more fun and funny to poke Matt Ryan if he had a Super Bowl ring since then.
Mm.
Like if he had won the next year, like if Bill Buckner had won World Series MVP 2 years later, you might be able to have a little fun with 86.
Yeah, but I can't joke with Russell Wilson Jr. III and say, hey, how's Malcolm Butler? No, hey, did you think about naming your son Malcolm?
That wouldn't go well.
No, it wouldn't. So, didn't he name his son Wynn?
Yes.
Wynn.
It's not short for Winchester or Winthrop. It's just Wynn.
Okay. Wynn.
That's a cool name. Like Wynn Butler?
His middle name is If We Run the Ball.
Wow.
No, that's too soon.
Wow.
His middle name is Give It to Beast Mode.
Yeah. Win if we give it to Beast Mode.
Meaning we would have won if we had handed the ball off, damn it.
Skittle Wilson.
Yeah, but if you have a name like Win and then you don't win, I don't know.
It sets up a lot of playground trash talk for sure.
Because we get caught up, you know, as parents, when you give somebody a name. Oh, my grandmother's middle name was Grace, or my dad's name was Jack. Now, you know, kids don't give a damn, you know, why you were named after somebody. They're just looking for that loophole of how do I make fun of you? Win.
You know, it was awkward when we were in the, like, my wife was pregnant and we were in the process of naming my son. We wouldn't tell anybody what the name was, even though we had it picked out, because I didn't really want, one of the things that happened is like, oh, we're thinking about this name. And then people will say, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I hate that name. And then, you know, when it's a family member that says that, it's like, I don't know, maybe we were thinking of that name. So we didn't say anything. And then I think the expectations got built up that we were naming our son after someone in the family. Because there was this moment in the hospital, we're like, what's the name? And we're like, Kieran. There was like a, oh.
Wait.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. That's nice.
So your dad thought maybe you were naming your son after your dad?
I don't know. I don't know who. It could have been anybody in the family.
Your brother maybe thought?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. You know. Okay. That's very nice.
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk to Chris Haynes and get his thoughts on the games last night. So he did the Pelicans-Jazz game, and then you walk down the street, and then you get to see the Lakers and the Clippers. So we'll talk to Chris, and does he have any more information on Zion Williamson and the minutes restriction? And I think the answers are kind of confusing coming from the Pelicans. Have that for you coming up. It's 22 after the hour. Glad you're with us. Hour one, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I mentioned these wireless earbuds just a couple of minutes ago. Let me give you a little bit more detail here. Everybody is looking for that great pair of wireless earbuds. But what I love about Raycon, well, there's a lot of things to love about Raycon. They're about half the price of the other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as those top audio brands. Ask for the Everyday E25 earbuds. Just remember E25. Like if Jason Giambi made an error at first base, E25. Well, no, it'd be E3, but never mind. E25 earbuds, their best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass. And you're going to love the design that they have, the nice noise isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, perfect for conference calls. If you're doing video chats, get 15% off your order. You go to buyraycon.com/Patrick. So it's buyraycon.com/Patrick for 15% off your Raycon wireless earbuds. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Lakers last night shot 39% from the floor. LeBron and AD were a combined 14 for 38, 37%. But they do get the victory. We'll settle on a poll question. Todd, is that a Manchester United jersey?
It is. It's got my last name on the back and everything. I couldn't name you a player or a coach or anybody, but found it in the closet. And I don't know why I'm wearing a soccer kit, you know, after the NBA reopened.
Can you name one player on Manchester United?
I don't think I can.
Okay. How about historically?
Probably not. I'm sure that I know there's famous soccer players, but I don't know if they were affiliated with Manchester United.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, is you could actually guess, like if you just started guessing the most famous soccer players you might know, you'd probably hit a couple that were on there.
Like Ronaldo or
there you go.
Beckham, Rolandino. Yeah. Those would be a few guys.
You salvaged it a little bit there.
Rolandino.
Rolandino.
Yeah. Big fan of him.
No, it got two correct.
Got two, though.
Yeah. It's all right.
Beckham.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Now that you can't wear the Houston Astros jerseys.
Soon I'm going to not be able to wear anything athletics related at all.
You're going to run out of things to wear there,
no
Todd.
No sports of any kind.
All right, did we decide on a poll question here? Seton?
Well, no, we haven't decided on one. Is there one that you like?
It's your day. Today is your day because you're filling in for McLovin.
How about we start with, I guess I'll start with one of mine. If you were 22, which team would you want to play for?
Okay.
Lakers or Pelicans?
All right. That's interesting. We'll go for the clicks.
Sure.
Kennedy in Louisville. Hey, Kennedy, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. How are you?
Good. Good. What's on your mind?
Right on topic. Because McLovin's out today, it kind of seems like that Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady moment for Ethan. Just kind of seems like his moment to step in, come up with a couple stats. Just kind of my thoughts.
All right. Well, thank you, Kennedy. I did say this when McLovin said, hey, I'm going to take Friday off. I'll see you on Monday. I said, Ethan probably is going to join us tomorrow. And he goes, really? I go, no, Ethan will help us with stats because, of course, you know that I love Ethan. He's really good at what he does. He graduated from Harvard. This would be the cue for the big German to hit the sound effect. Thank you. Let me direct the show as well, apparently. But Ethan will have some. In fact, Ethan had the stat on AD and LeBron James. You know, Ethan could probably direct the show as well.
Wow.
Apparently anybody can.
I don't know that there's anything he can't do so far.
He's incredible. Yes. More phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Let's bring in Chris Haynes. Yahoo Sports, NBA writer, senior writer for them, but also working the sidelines for TNT last night. Had his suit on, had his mask on, and he was working the opener, the Pelicans and the Utah Jazz. Let me start with that game. Chris, thanks for joining us. What was the most unusual part of last night's game?
That it had like a summer league feel, like how you're attending multiple games. But the crowd, the fake crowd noise, like that kept getting to me because it was overly loud. And it was funny because, you know, the players would score a basket or make a big play in this large virtual crowd noise would, you know, just hit the arena, and the players wouldn't really react. Like they knew this wasn't real fans. You know, they weren't getting hyped up. And so it's just a different atmosphere. And, you know, going to, you know, I did the Pelicans Jazz game for TNT. Then I walked down the street and went and saw the rest of the Lakers and Clipper game. And then, you know, you just see all the players sitting in the stands right there. It's a unique atmosphere, something I've really never experienced before.
Were players who weren't playing last night, their teams weren't playing at the games?
Correct. So you had Damian Lillard there. You had Carmelo Anthony, CJ McCollum. Chris Paul was there. DeMar DeRozan. You know, it was about, I would say, 20 players. I think Russell Westbrook, James Harden was there as well. So, I mean, just having players just come and watch the game and check out the atmosphere, you know, we never seen anything like this.
Zion on the minutes restriction here, it was a game-time decision. What did you learn from what was happening or what their game plan is with Zion moving forward?
I'll say this. Zion was pissed. Like, he wanted to play. And obviously, I think the members of the Pelicans feel like if he was able to go down the stretch or play significant minutes, that they would have got the win last night. But they wanted – the plan was to get him out there in 3 to 4 minute bursts. They said he said he really wasn't on a minutes restriction, but they just wanted to make sure they kept him in spurts. But I don't think Zion – I don't know that he knew that he was going to go out there and get 15 minutes. So that was disappointing from his standpoint because you have to understand New Orleans Pelicans, you know, they're fighting for a playoff spot. And these games count. It's only 7 more games left. So they're trying to put themselves in position to get in that top 8.
Yeah, but Chris, I don't understand this. Are they there to win, to try to get into the playoffs? And if they are, then why aren't you playing Zion? And I would argue those 3 to 4 minute bursts – he might have more of an opportunity to get injured as opposed to kind of being able to go, I can relax a little bit and have a 7 or 8 minute stretch here.
No, I see what you're saying, DP. I think New Orleans is thinking of the long game here. And obviously with his injury history, they want to make sure, you know, they want to be careful. You know, let's just be real, DP. There's not a lot of teams. I'm not saying New Orleans is one of those teams. There's not a lot of teams that's putting a lot of stock and playing meaningful games here. You know, there's some teams that, you know, quite simply were forced to be here. You know, I don't think, you know, you look at Washington's roster, they're not absolutely, you know, they're not trotting a playoff type roster out there. So, you know, I think New Orleans, like, they want to win, but I don't think they're going to do it at the detriment of Zion's long-term ability with the team.
Yeah, but why? I just don't understand it, because he wants to play. So you just said he wants to play and he was really upset about not playing. So who's right? The Jazz or the Pelicans' approach to this game with the Jazz, or Zion saying, look, I'm back. I came back. I want to play.
Well, we have to keep in mind, DP, that he went away on a family emergency. So he hasn't been with the team getting a lot of practices in. I think he got, want to say, two and a half practices in before the game. So they want to just make sure that, you know, he's in the right mind. And look, I see both sides, but I also get, you know, having a significant injury for Zion, or maybe there's something lagging. You know, the team is being very quiet with his injuries and if he's hurt or not. They're saying this is strictly a conditioning issue because he's been away. But, you know, we really don't know. So without knowing all the facts and them being transparent, I can't really make the call on who's right or not.
He's Chris Haynes, the Yahoo senior NBA insider. He was courtside reporter for the Jazz Pelicans, Mr. TV star. By the way, he was on TNT last night. Looked good. Blue jacket, blue mask. You're looking good. Look tight. Look tight.
He got to coordinate.
I'm Mr. Coordinate. That's all I do.
DP, I'll say this, man. It was hell for me talking through that mask because you got your hot breath all in your mask, and I'm sweating as it is. I got this full suit on, and, you know, it's humidity. It's not the most comfortable feeling. But, you know, we try to use proper social distance and, you know, wear your mask covering, but it's not a comfortable feeling.
The Lakers and the Clippers, that was spirited, came down to the last possession, and what did you take away from that game?
You know, it was weird, DP. I went and watched that game. I watched second quarter on. It was weird because I saw LeBron talking way more during the scrimmage, like going at players, cussing at his players, teammates. You know what I mean? Just saw him real lively. And he was real quiet last night. I think more so because the games are starting and now we can actually, like, hear everything they say. It was an awkward, bizarre scene. It's one that I probably can't really demonstrate and tell properly because people aren't there.
Yeah.
But just the scene of just no fans, and I think everybody's trying to be on their best behavior. I think Anthony Davis made a point in saying, like, well, we can't say what we want to say because there's no fans. And so they'll hear everything. So it seemed like they're kind of trying to keep everything compressed. And so I'm interested in seeing if that's something that they can continue as the season moves forward.
I know there's a lot of pressure on LeBron. There should be a lot of pressure on Anthony Davis. Like, this is Anthony Davis's chance to really shine on a big stage. LeBron's done this. Kawhi's done this. I think Paul George and Anthony Davis have a lot to prove here in the bubble. Your thoughts?
I do, but it's LeBron James. It's LeBron James. He's going to get the bulk of the criticism. Yeah. He's going to get the bulk of the praise. That's just what comes with it. Now, any other star, and maybe even any other superstar, but I would even say LeBron James is probably past superstar. And he's a megastar. And so Anthony Davis, as long as he's playing with LeBron James, as long as LeBron James is playing at a high level, Anthony Davis or any other player could take a back seat to LeBron. He's still going to get criticized.
Yeah, and LeBron, what I loved is, okay, so I didn't like the first shot and then the follow-up that sealed the game, but what I loved is he wanted Paul George and he wanted Kawhi Leonard on the defensive end there in the final sequences. That's what great players want to do. You want to step up, and here we are just dipping our toe back into the bubble, and LeBron's playing like it's the NBA Finals.
Look, LeBron knows the narratives that go out there. They know how people are trying to anoint Kawhi Leonard as being the best player. They know, you know, people, you know, trying to say Paul George might have a step on him this year. You know, so down the stretch, like you mentioned, DP, he used those defense assignments, you know, to his will and wanted to impose himself. And he switched on Paul George, got off in his crouch. The same thing with Kawhi. Can I say that, crouch?
Well, yeah, you just did. Twice. You just said that twice. So he got, wait, did he get up in his crotch or his crouch, Chris?
Well, either one. Either one.
Okay. You can say crouch.
Okay. Well, you get the point.
Okay. So LeBron is a crotch defender.
He's a cross defender. I'll give you that. He was a cross defender down the stretch. He's not a cross defender all the time.
Okay.
You know, but down the stretch, when, you know, it's time when it's game time. You know, he does it. He shows that he can still play at a high level. And he did that towards the end of the game.
Can you bring that up the next time when you do a Lakers game? If they throw it to you and you can say, you know, LeBron's one of the top five crotch defenders.
Hey, you know, I don't know if you see DP, but you know, it was the New Orleans Pelicans home.
Oh, yeah.
Crowd.
Yeah.
So I asked Alvin Gentry during the coach's interview, I'm like, can you talk about the boost your home crowd is giving you?
It was so bizarre that when I'm listening to the game and all of a sudden I'm going, Ian Eagle's talking about, well, it's a Pelicans home game, therefore the crowd noise is catered to the Pelicans. And I went, oh, my God.
And Gentry had a funny response, though. He said, you know, it's good, Chris, because every time we come to Orlando, we have a good home crowd.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, and congrats on the sideline stuff there. And we'll check in with you again, Chris. Thank you again.
EP, take care, my guy.
Oh, crotch defender, LeBron James. I think that's new. That's a new term. How good a defender? He's one of the best crotch defenders we have in the league. That's Chris Haynes, Yahoo, senior NBA insider, NBA on TNT sideline reporter, and host of Post It Up with Chris Haynes podcast. We'll take a break. We got our play of the day coming up. Paulie has a question for me that involves Kawhi Leonard.
I have a thesis, a theory on Kawhi.
Thesis?
It's short, though.
A thesis. A short. How short can a thesis be?
I can't even spell thesis.
Thesis. Reggie Thesis, who played in the NBA. We'll take a break. We're back after this on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Yes, Paulie, you had a thesis, a Kawhi Leonard thesis.
Yes, I've been thinking about this the past week, and I watched Kawhi last night. Mm-hmm. Would it be fair to say, I'm going to defer to you because I consider you a basketball expert. I really do. Okay. Would it be fair to say that Kawhi Leonard is the most complete player in the NBA, offensively and defensively?
No.
But right up there? Because he's been defensive player of the year a couple times.
Greek Freak is, you know, what he does offensively, he's going to be defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Kawhi is a great two-way player. I don't think he has the highs that the Greek Freak has. But he's in the conversation of best two-way players.
I've noticed the past week a lot of people talking about Kawhi Leonard, and they dabble in the line, he's the best basketball player in the world.
No, he's
and
not.
They dabble on it. I've heard Reggie Miller kind of talked about it. He might be the best. I heard Van Gundy last night saying he might be the best player there is. And I have the theory that no one's going to declare him the best player in the world because they don't want a star player. He has no star power to him. He has no entertainment value off the court. Almost like Tim Duncan, his lack of entertainment, his lack of engagement with the fans, you don't want to declare him the best player in the world, even if it was factually true.
No, he's boringly great.
Right, but I think that would keep people from saying, the face of our league is this guy, because it's always going to be LeBron. It's almost like Mike Trout. Mike Trout is clearly the best hitter in the past 7 years.
Well, he's the best player in baseball.
Right, hands down. Unfortunately, he's also the least engaged player with the media and fans.
Yeah, he's boring.
Yeah, but he had to plow through that way.
Well, are you saying if Kawhi had more of an entertainment value, a social presence,
he'd be rated higher even on the court?
Yeah. It would help if he played more regular season games, what happened in San Antonio when he quit on the team. He won championships there, but he had help. He had won a championship there, but he had, you know, a really good team there. Toronto, he did a wonderful job there, winning the championship. And if he wins a title with the Clippers, I mean, he deserves to be. People would say Kevin Durant, I think, is a better player than Kawhi Leonard when they're both healthy, because Durant has become a very good defender. And he's more of a matchup nightmare than Kawhi is. But Kawhi is, you know, he's on the short list of great two-way players. You know, Klay Thompson's a great two-way player as well. We don't focus in on that. We'll focus on a big man who's a good defender. But if you're a really good two-guard defender, or if you play the three and you play good defense, we don't really focus in on it that much. But there's something that happened last night. It's so small. It's so subtle. But, of course, I realized what was going on here. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of smart basketball people did. I just put myself in the smart basketball category. The closing seconds, Kawhi is not going to be able to go to his right. LeBron has taken away the right, and he's making him dribble into traffic. He's trying to make Kawhi dribble into a crowd. He wants to get help defenders, and he does the same thing with Paul George. But Kawhi has the ball, and then he gives the ball up to Paul George. There is a moment, a fraction second there. I almost said fractionary, and I don't even know if that's a word. And McLevin's not here to correct me. There is a split second where Kawhi gives the ball to Paul George. LeBron is guarding Paul George. He looks up and to see the clock. Just a split second, takes his eye off Paul George, looks up to see the clock to know Paul George has to get this shot off, makes him go left, and makes it even harder going left and then shooting right. And LeBron played very good defense on both of those players in crunch time. and the fact that he switched off. And, you know, what happens sometimes is you're guarding a guy and then, you know, somebody else then has to guard Paul George. And it might be a more favorable matchup. LeBron switched off Kawhi, went to Paul George, noticed the clock, noticed that he had to get the shot off, made him go left, making it tougher to go back, you know, to shoot that, you know, right-handed jumper, and he didn't foul him. It was a small thing, but it was, you know, that's important defense, getting some help defense as well from his teammates. Kyle in California joins us. Hi, Kyle. What do you have for me today?
DP.
Hey, Kyle.
Loved it last night. Lakers looked fantastic. LeBron, a little slow out the gate. It's going to happen. He's going to ramp up. They're all going to ramp up.
Yeah.
But the whole Kawhi thing, you know, let's look at this objectively. Only reason they win last year, not only, but, you know, KD doesn't get hurt. Klay doesn't get hurt. Different story. The whole three rings, three teams. It's apples and oranges between him and LeBron in that category, you know? I'm just going to say it.
Oh, I'm there with you. Kawhi is not in LeBron's category. But if he gets to three teams, three different teams winning three titles, then he deserves to be celebrated. He just doesn't – we don't know who Kawhi Leonard is. He doesn't care that we know who he is. And I think because of that, he probably doesn't get enough credit. You know, Tim Duncan got credit, but it took a while. John Stockton, we didn't know John Stockton. Took a while, and then we finally gave him credit. You know, it happens that way. Jim in New Jersey. Hi, Jim. What do you have for me?
Hi, DP. Now that, you know, I hope that you and the three Danettes are doing well, I have a poll question. Now that you've got Wally Pipp halfway out the door, my suggestions for the fourth Danette would be Jim Parsons, Reggie Miller, or Ethan, the Harvard grad.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim. I would say Jim Parsons, probably busy. Reggie Miller, probably busy.
Actually, isn't Jim... Isn't Jim semi-unemployed now, Parsons?
I think he's pretty busy. I think he has a lot of projects there. I think he does a lot of things. But Ethan, I don't know if I could do that to McLovin. Like, the seat's not even cold yet, okay? He's only gone for one day here, and he's out there risking his life on the beach in Cape Cod looking at sharks. But, you know, I'll take that under advisement. Ethan maybe is a replacement for McLovin? Question mark.